Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday, but man, what a weekend it was. Ho, woo! What a weekend it was in sports and otherwise. Today on the radio show, because it is Tuesday, let's see. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. He was at the MLK game yesterday. And then, because it is Tuesday, rare 2 days in a row for the Jeff Calkins show, because we didn't work Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, because we were off, out of respect for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we got Fishman again. It's Tuesday. It's Fish on Friday on Tuesday, after having him doing the makeup last Friday, so we got Fishman in the second hour. Chris Harrington, then Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. We got the first hour to ourselves, and as I said, we got a million things to talk about. Today's a big day in Memphis. First of all, it's cold. Jeffrey, have you noticed?
Oh, boy, have I.
You have noticed.
Oh, yeah.
How's the new house holding up with the draftiness and stuff? Like, does the heat, what do you keep your heat at?
So right now, I think it's at 65. During the holiday break, we needed to get a new gas valve and a switchboard. So ever since we've done that,
it's better.
$1,200 later.
I've become soft. You know, I say I'm from Buffalo, and the truth is I am from Buffalo, but I have become soft over the years, and I finally reached the point yesterday. There's something about cold that is just bone chill. You know, there is this bone chilling quality to it, and I just wanted to be warm. And so for the upstairs, I cranked that baby up to 67, and that is not like me, but I just wanted to be warm, and it worked. And but it's going to be cold. A low of 11 tonight, Jeffrey. Low of 11 tonight.
Well, and I know we don't acknowledge the wind chill or the heat index.
Like, soft. But, that is really pathetic.
But we can agree this is a different cold than even the snow, like when we had the snow storm or
it's
whatever.
It's also colder. And maybe we should talk to, we'll talk to Sam Hardiman tomorrow, but he's talked to us about, you know, pipes breaking, right? Like, what happens? The reason you ultimately get a boil water order is, if so many pipes burst that it then brings down the water pressure in the pipes across the city, that's when you automatically, when the pressure sinks below a certain level, it's not that they're testing the water quality. They just know that the pressure inside the pipes has sunk to a certain level that you now automatically have a boil water order, and it is damn cold out there. That's my analysis. It's damn cold. That is my analysis. Also, though, tonight, Dr. Marie Fagan is probably getting canned.
So we actually have the vote tonight.
The vote is tonight. And it's just so weird. Like, there is a regular working meeting of the school board. I think that's at 5:30. And it's just this was weird last week too. Amidst all this food fight, you stop and you as I said, you celebrate the Mace football team for winning
somebody's birthday,
whatever, and you celebrate, sing happy birthday to someone. And Fagan and the board are all involved in those proceedings, and then they try to skewer each other. And so tonight is the actual vote, and you know, by the sounds of it, it feels like, and you can read about, Laura Testino does such a good job at the Daily Memphian, and she's reached out to every school board member to try to discern their vote, but
it appears the votes are there.
It appears that the five who were going to vote to fire her are still going to vote to fire her. And I got this exchange over the weekend. Like, I get looped into emails. A guy, just a thoughtful Memphian, wrote a long email to the board members, explaining why it just makes no sense to fire her. What the heck? I'll tell you. His name is, he sent it to me. He didn't be whatever. Just Dudley Carter is his name. Dudley Carter. An objective observer of the last several weeks would assuredly conclude that you have failed. You have failed to clearly articulate your case against Dr. Fagan's or explain why it is in the best interest of our students to terminate her. A case for termination should be easily supported by and solely based on hard evidence. Yet we have only heard inflammatory accusations and nameless anecdotes to support them. That failure begot your second. How about the word begot?
Don't hear that often.
Right, begot. The uproar your first failure unleashed has been unlike much else I've seen locally in my 16 years as a Memphian. And yet, you have shown no willingness to pause. Active listening, emotional intelligence, problem solving, communication, and negotiation are key pillars in successful conflict resolution. You have all exhibited none of these. You have heard, but you have failed to listen. I think it's a very thoughtful email, don't you think? Right? And it was sent to...
Nothing there was like... emotional. I think that was very reasonable.
But it was sent in addition to, it was sent in addition to the board members. It was sent to a whole bunch of other politicians. Councilwoman Yolanda Cooper Sutton responded to it and basically, whatever. But then you get this email back from Tawana Murphy,
okay,
who's one of the five. We respectfully request that you permit us to fulfill our duties. This matter falls exclusively within the purview of the board and the superintendent and does not involve the board and the county commissioners, the board and the city council, or the board and the state representatives. As competent professionals, we are well equipped to perform our roles. We kindly ask that you allow us to execute the responsibilities for which we are duly elected. Thanks, Commissioner Tawana Murphy. Does that sound like a woman who's engaged in active listening?
No, and this is kind of the larger governmental problem that I have. They work for us!
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. Like, again, I don't know. I can't say for certain whether Dr. Fagan's is good or bad. Right? I've heard, in fact, that she's not as great as everyone thinks, but whatever. I'll also say this. I don't know why the people who think she's great, like where the evidence is. You know, well, like what's the evidence that they point to that she's great? There's very, but whatever, be that as it may, what has happened is they have created an uproar such as I've never seen about any public official. And I don't know that I've seen this in my 30
particularly
years
not
here.
This quickly.
It's kind of like, and so it's interesting because sometimes when you fire a football coach or a basketball coach, people say, you know, it's not that they were fired. It's the way it was done.
Sure.
Right? You hear that all the time. When Phil Fulmer was fired, when Larry Finch was fired, whatever. I will say this, and I always poo-poo that. I'm like, come on, man. What you're really mad about, if you're mad about Phil Fulmer, it's that he was fired. And if you're really mad about Larry Finch, it was that he was fired. It wasn't.
Yeah. By the way, you have a right to be mad.
I do think, like, yeah, you can have your own opinion on all that stuff. I do think here, in the end, what they have done is destroyed what little public confidence. Like, look around at our institutions now, right? We talk about how no one is more critical of about Memphians than Memphis than Memphians themselves, right? And that's true. But look at what reason do we have to be other than critical right now? You look at the clerk position. Like, people are trying to oust her. There's that whole controversy.
We're still doing that.
You look at the police department where we're still dealing with a interim a police chief. You look
that
at MATA.
Was the police chief, by
you,
the way.
You look at MATA where the board was replaced with another board and whatever else. You look at like you look at our institutions and then you look at the school board and you're like, who could have confidence in this? So it's not just what they're doing specifically with respect to the school system. It's they are, in the way they have handled it, they have absolutely chopped away at whatever public confidence we have. And again, the school system, the public confidence in the school system was already at a particularly low ebb. And they have made it lower still. Anyway, we'll see how that plays out tonight. But it appears that that is going to unfold tonight.
Is there going to be a live stream again?
Plus, we did. Oh, yes, they always live stream it because it's a public whatever. So there will be a yes. You can watch. Yeah, you can watch on the live stream. So there you go. Plus, we had the President Trump was inaugurated for the second time yesterday as well. So it was a massive weekend. But I would argue, Jeffrey, you said that there may come a moment in time when, not this past weekend, but I think you said the previous weekend.
Yeah, it was the final four of college football playoff that went into wild card weekend presented by Verizon.
Wild card weekend and file four.
Wild card weekend presented by Verizon.
Will be a thing. But let me ask you, will it be bigger than the weekend? Like, how could you have a more magnificent, like, we got NFL.
To be clear, I was asking, is this going to become a thing?
Right. So, like, the weekend that we just had.
Yeah.
Where
trumped everything from Commissioner, I'm sorry. And we got the super out of Wild Card Weekend. But when we had Final Four into Wild Card Weekend presented by Verizon, we had one good NFL game. Like, let's be real. The Bucks Commanders was a great football game. That was really it.
The Bills-Ravens game was... Oh, you're talking about... Oh, the previous
weekend.
Oh, yes. The previous week, yes.
The two college games were very good.
I don't think, though, you can judge it on how they actually played out, unless you think there's something systemic about it.
I think
that means it will always be
one-sided. I just don't think there's that many good
teams. So you think the weekend that we just had, provided that they keep having the national championship game on the Monday night, and I've seen people complain, does a self-respecting sport have a championship game on a Monday night? Why can't they have it? College football's played on Saturdays. Shouldn't it be on a Saturday?
I don't have a problem with Monday night. I will say this. I found myself, and this is one person talking, and I'm open to other discussion, other opinions. I found myself thinking the playoffs too long. Too many days. Not the number of games. But the amount of time it took to play this.
This is heresy. Don't even. I hate to even say this out loud. Is the college football season too long?
Oh, I mean, I think there's a legitimate question about that.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, it was a magnificent weekend with the games, though. The NFL games we had.
Probably.
It was almost hard to believe that you could wake up from the NFL games we had and then realize you still had the national championship.
It was almost like, am I going to make it?
It was like Thanksgiving dinner. When you get to the dessert and you're like, can I really do this?
No, I'll tell you what it was like. The first time I went down, I think it was when Aaliyah and I were engaged. And the first time I went down to her parents, it would be like that Friday. We did Thanksgiving, everything, blow it out with my family. And then I had to get up and go and do it again on the next Friday. It's like, I don't know if I can do this.
It was unbelievable. And because we weren't here yesterday, we have a lot to, watch this, digest. From the
get the tums
weekend.
Out, baby.
So let me do this, Jeffrey. I want to discuss. We did this last weekend too, I believe. The best things you saw this past long weekend in the world of sports. I'm going to save my absolute favorite best thing that I saw in the world of sports for last. But I'll start with some of these. Here's one. Anthony Edwards missing that shot to end the game yesterday.
Yes.
You would include that.
I would include it. I guess the way that I phrase it, I said it on Twitter, it is nice to have a team that just has the heebie-jeebies against you. You know what I mean? Like, we always talk about in sports, like, the teams that can't get over the hump against other teams. It's nice to clearly establish one. Like, the The Timberwolves look under their bed and they see the Grizzlies.
Isn't that interesting?
It's fun. It's awesome.
Has there ever been?
I can't think of one.
Like the Clippers gave and got. You know what I mean?
There was a push and pull.
There was a push and pull.
But this is one team that
they
clearly
look under the bed and they see the Grizzlies.
There is a clear mental block.
And literally the games ended the exact same way.
It's the best. We're down with for three
Anthony
and a half quarters.
Edwards,
well, no, it's like they've controlled the whole game.
Yeah, the game, and Chris and Drew both wrote excellent pieces on this, and I would urge you to read them. But I was gonna invoke the one comment that Chris used, which was this was a game that was a throwback in that it was, you used to call it in the mud.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's call it in the mud. And those Grizzlies would routinely play games in the mud. And
Plodding along, they would win.
In fact, they would win games in the mud. That's how they were supposed to win, was they were built to pull you into the mud and then beat you in the mud. These Grizzlies do not typically win games in the mud. They win games in the sky. They win beautiful games. They score a million points. For them to win a game in the mud was its own kind of triumph. All you had to do was look at Santi, who we recently celebrating for scoring 29 against San Antonio, the flamethrower. One of 8 2-pointers, you know?
Connor had a great stat. I think it was, I was texting Connor during the game. He's like, the Grizzlies had more air balls than made threes in the third quarter.
First half, Grizzlies shot 4 of 22.
That good?
From three, 18%. From three. They trailed by as many as 16, and yet they won.
Mm-hmm.
108 to 106. 9 straight free throws in the last 4:14, and a massive fourth quarter from Jaren Jackson Jr. You could read about that in Drew's piece. Interesting stats about Jaren and the work that he has done in the fourth quarter. As he phrased it, you know, normally you call 12. Here now you can call 13, because Jaren has been terrific in the fourth quarters generally this year. He's averaging basically 7 points a game in the fourth quarter on not that many shots. And he came through last night after starting reasonably slow. 15 of his 24 points were in the fourth quarter. He had a hard time getting into the flow because of foul trouble and everything else. Also had 11 rebounds, by the way. And we saw the return of G.G. Jackson.
Yep.
They had not, Taylor Jenkins said, he had not anticipated necessarily playing him. But the first half was such a mess. They needed a spark, Jeffrey. And so G.G. was inserted in an attempt to have him be that spark. 4 points, 2 of 5 from the field in 11 minutes. So the Grizzlies win on MLK Day on a day when it looked a little dubious to begin with.
I mean, historically, it's not like, even though it's, you know, it's quote unquote the day that we invented.
Right.
The game usually doesn't go in our favor.
No, not always. Game has not always gone in our favor. They did show on TNT. They showed. They replayed Gigi's highlight from last year when he lit up at the very idea that he was talking to Shaq, and it was as adorable as ever. So, all right, I'm going to put that as one of the best things I saw over the weekend. Tell me one of the best things you saw over the weekend.
Mark Andrews dropping the 2-point play.
For last. I was saving that for the single best thing.
But if we're going to do the peek behind the curtain,
I had
a really bad Saturday, really bad gambling Saturday. And let's just say,
you needed that.
I believe in my guys. And I have been a consistent believer. Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Lamar. I trust in my guys.
All right, well,
I hopped on his back.
I was saving that as the single best thing.
All right, I'll go to Saturday.
We'll do this. The Mark Andrews drop was obviously massive. It is interesting how it played out, though.
Sure.
Because leading up to the game, it was, this is going to be, you know, the showdown of the two MVP candidates. Whoever emerges from this is going to be the true MVP, that Lamar is going to have to take the the, you know, if he fails, particularly given his failures in playoffs past, where he really has not played well in the playoffs, unlike Josh, who has played brilliantly even as losing. So what's interesting is the way it evolved. Josh had a relatively restrained game, threw for fewer yards than he did in any meaningful game, fewer in the Patriots game where he played one snap, but then because it was a drop at the end, Lamar is not getting the criticism that he would have gotten. Indeed, it's interesting. If you had taken the plays that Mark Andrews committed in the second half, which is the fumble and then the drop pass, and put them in the first half, and put Lamar's
fumble
and interception in the second half, then Lamar would be getting crushed.
Yes.
But because they happened, and by the way, they count just as much.
100%.
Like the Bills scored it after. And honestly, it was the fumble, because the interception didn't lead to any points, like in the end. But the fumble led directly to Bills points in a game that the Bills won by two. And it was sheer recklessness. And it was, in fact, typical of what he's done in the playoffs. He has been a different guy at this level of the playoffs.
The only game this year he had two turnovers.
But I think he's escaped the criticism.
No,
it is interesting. Like, Josh does not escape the criticism for losing to Kansas City, even though he had him within 13 seconds of beating Kansas
Josh
City.
Josh made one mistake in that game. He called tails.
Right. So it is just kind of interesting to me. Now, I'll say this. I thought Lamar was great, except for that. Honestly, the fumble was the worst one. He was really good. Now, the game script, they had to put up points. I think they very clearly had Josh under wraps in the second half. They were just trying to run the ball. They were trying to take the ball out of the air, out of the ball. They were trying to, and maybe to a fault. But Lamar is really good. Like, Lamar is really good.
Lamar is awesome. Like, this is the problem with the whole discourse is, I can believe that Josh Allen is better than Lamar. I still think Lamar is
awesome.
Yes. But at the end, Josh made zero critical errors. He didn't even really put the ball in jeopardy.
Well, he didn't honestly really throw the ball down the field. They didn't
But think about this though. I thought a huge play in the game. We talk about things that get often overlooked.
You talk about the lateral that he didn't.
No, not the lateral he didn't. 3rd and 8, the very first drive, the Ravens have just shoved it right down the Bills' throat.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 8, and you're sitting there going like, oh boy, the route could be on.
Right.
And he hits Shakir
down the middle.
That right
was one
over
of
the middle.
Few throws down.
And like that was a big time throw. And then they have to convert a couple of fourth downs, but they get the thing tied at 7-7, and then that is where Lamar throws the pick. And the biggest reason why the turnovers were so huge is it is well documented. That is a team that needs to be in front, and they just suck the life out of you.
Right.
And you can't come back on them. Well, what happened was the Bills were able to chaser
the
entire
argument
game.
Would be, the argument from his defenders would be, and he brought them back. You say he can't bring them back. He brought them back if Mark Andrews hadn't dropped that damn pass. Not his fault. What can he do? What can he do?
Don't throw the interception and then eat. And also another underrated play was the sack he took that kept them from perhaps either going for
it. It is amazing how it worked. Like that is a game that normally the Bills are on the other side of.
Yes.
They're the better team.
Well,
and yet they somehow lose.
Bass at the 51 yarder. Right. I'm sitting there going like, oh, how bad is this going to miss?
Because the Ravens looked like, if you are a Ravens fan, you've got to be sick.
Because you clearly have a better roster.
Yeah, and I think that's true. Like, if you are someone who is, Matt Stark texted me. He said, whoever wins, I just hope that they beat Kansas City.
Sure.
And I think a lot of America feels like that now, right? I mean,
Patriots fans definitely feel like that because they're now having to,
they're trying to defend their dynasty against other dynasties. Yes. I do think that if you wanted the Chiefs to lose next weekend, you wanted the Ravens to win. They have a better roster. The Ravens have an awesome roster. Now, the Bills aren't going to be intimidated.
This would be the only argument I'd have. I agree with you from a roster perspective that's true. But the Ravens have a mental hang up against the Chiefs. Well, at least the Bills have beaten them. I know it hasn't happened in the playoffs yet.
It's kind of amazing. They are, in their last 10 games, the Bills and Chiefs are 5-5, and they have each scored 251 points.
It's dead even.
It's literally dead even. It's only because, and this is significant, Chiefs always win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Chiefs always win in the playoffs. Bills have not yet won in the playoffs. All right, I'll give you something else great that I saw.
All right.
And that was the Will Howard throw to Jeremiah Smith, up 31-23. Notre Dame has made a game of it. It is 3rd and 11.
Yep.
And they dial up that throw. Will Howard, who had, you know, had a mixed season, was terrific, makes the throw, and Jeremiah Smith is a total monster. It's ridiculous, by the way, that he can't go to the NFL this year. It's ridiculous.
Along the same lines,
he can't go to the NFL this year. But that is what put the nail in the coffin. By the way, shout out to Notre Dame for making it a game.
I totally agree. And like that's one of those things where I'm going to include this in the greatest things that I saw, because also tied into needing the Bills on Sunday, I very much needed Ohio State to cover.
Uh-huh.
And that set up the, okay, you start doing the clock math, like, are they going to be able to kick a field goal to make this to get outside the number? Like,
right.
Like you start to do that math. But I think you're right. I mean, it was interesting to me that there was, like, two different types of games. Number one, I felt like Ohio State kind of took the foot off the gas in the second half. Like, it felt like they were trying to run it out. And, I mean, you kind of get that. They sat there and, like, listen, our defense is great. Like, we trust them. The Notre Dame hasn't done anything. But I also want to, like, point the finger at Chris Fowler for willing that fumble into existence.
Yes, exactly right. Like, exactly
that was,
right.
That's like the announcer just wanting a good game. Like, and how dare you? And then the other thing, though, I kept thinking, like, is did Notre Dame make a really calculated error? And I understand the way the first drive went, where it was maybe one of the most impressive drives I've seen.
Unbelievable. 18-play, 75-yard drive, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa!
Well, and on top of that,
here's Notre Dame.
It also meant that we were going to have to watch a ton of commercials the rest of the game, because that game just killed the entire clock, and they're like, we are 3 commercial breaks behind. So they had to load up commercials the rest of the way. But I almost kept wondering, it's like, they were trying to put that drive together and repeat. And it's like, okay, I understand the thought process of, like, shorten the game, but I don't know how sustainable an 18-play drive where, like, no play is bigger than 7 yards is repeatable. But, like, once they started spreading out and going with tempo, it's like, okay, that Ohio State defensive front that's so formidable, like, they were getting gassed. And it's like, should they have maybe have gone to that earlier?
Give me another good thing you saw over the weekend.
I mean, I'm a documented Lions sympathetic guy, but I mean, I don't know how you can be watching what Jaden Daniels is doing and not just like wondering, like, are we seeing something different?
First of all, let's go back and look at that LSU team.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, like,
no, it's on par. The difference is they didn't have the defense. It's on par with like Burrow, Chase,
Jefferson. God.
Like, it's on par with, like, the talent is there. Byron Thomas.
The way, so the Bears obviously have now hired Ben Johnson. We know that. And a perfectly reasonable choice. I think it's an interesting question as to whether, you know.
Yeah, coordinator, he's not been a head coach. Whether, but like,
you could have had Mike McCarthy.
Sure.
Experienced head coach who wins 10 games.
Yeah.
And I think there's an argument for that, right?
Sure.
I see the argument for that.
I think history is being a little kinder to McCarthy. McCarthy's big problem is in Dallas, he'd like look up at that video board and you just see like he just has a very dumb look on his face.
Yeah, so I don't like, and I know if you're a Bears fan, you're like, oh my God, we could have had this guy. We could have had Jaden and like truly. But no one was going to take him.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's something you can beat yourself up for. Like, if you had taken Greg Oden over Kevin Durant.
Sure.
Everyone would have taken Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. So that's not one you beat yourself up for. You don't, like, in the end, everyone.
It's like Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan. Go beat yourself up over that.
The Commanders would have taken Caleb Williams.
Yes.
So I don't think you can beat yourself up for that. He is unbelievable.
he's unbelievable, and it's also, there's just something about when you watch a guy and the whole game looks like it's at a different speed for him, and in a good way. He never looks rattled.
As a rookie.
Correct. And obviously they've done a, like, I think two things can be true. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is a great head coach. I do think Cliff Kingsbury can run a good offense.
People are also giving him a lot of credit for being a dramatically improved coach.
Yes.
From even a play caller, as a play caller, than he was when he was at Arizona.
No, and I think it's a lot easier. I bet at his core, he has more belief in Jaden Daniels than he did in Kyler Murray.
How much, if you are, maybe we'll get to this a little more in the next segment. How much, if you are a Detroit fan, are you lamenting that your window may have closed? You're going to lose both your coordinators. You're going to lose a bunch of players. Like, yes, you're not going to suffer the injuries that you did, again, presumably, on defense this year. But you also don't have a quarterback. I don't know. How old is Jared Goff?
Jared's, I think, 29.
Not old. Is that all he is?
Yeah.
That's what Josh is. Josh is 28.
Yeah, but Jared was Josh had way more time in college.
Are you worried that your window is closed? And by the way, for a coach, for a team who's...
Jared just turned 30 in October.
For a team whose offensive and defensive coordinators are both going to get head coaching jobs, that was a very sloppily handled...
I didn't know the stat. I mean, it didn't surprise me, but they were talking about it on the Fox broadcast before the game. No team has made the Super Bowl after losing their both coordinators the previous year. And I'm not saying that, okay, it can't be done, but I do think...
Particularly because your head coach is a CEO head coach, right?
Correct. The issue is, when you have culture CEO head coach, it's what happens when he has to start replacing the staff. That's always a big part of it. Doesn't mean you can't do it. There are plenty of people that have done it, but...
Saban did it time and time and time and time and time again.
Yeah, I guess the difference that I would say is, like, Saban had one side of the ball covered.
Right.
Like, in the end,
he was.
It's his defense. Like, yes, he had Kirby. Yes, he's had...
No, that's right.
But it's his defense. I think I'm not worried, like, is the window closed? I'm sitting there wondering, like, are we the Falcons?
Okay, this is one of the... I'm stretching this. This is not, in fact. There was nothing about this game that was one of the best things I saw.
Are we talking about Charlotte?
Yes.
On Sunday. I knew exactly where you were going.
There was nothing about this game.
It was something that happened.
How about this? Looking at the box score and seeing that they out-rebounded Charlotte 42-28 was one of the best things I saw this weekend.
Okay, we're reaching. I just keep going back to Cerrito deserves, I don't know, some kind of award for this. The Charlotte logo. So it's a pickaxe in the middle of that C. But he pointed this out. Does that not just look like the Charlotte Airport logo? Like, if I just put that in front of you, it looks like a plane, like, coming in.
It's the
pickaxe in the middle of the sea. But it just looks like a plane, and I was like, I can't see anything else now. And I just, every time I see Charlotte's floor, that's all I keep thinking about is, it looks like an airport logo.
Well, that is something.
But if you want to go that route, okay, sure.
Oh, I see it.
You see what I'm saying? Cerrito made this point. It's like, I can't.
Is it?
It's a pickaxe because of the 49ers.
It looks more like a pickaxe than a plane. That'd be a weird-ass looking plane with a blunt.
I can see it. Looks like wings.
Yeah. No, I can see the wings too. Anyway, they did get the win. And we did want to mention that they bounced back. They rebounded, Jeffrey.
Literally.
As they literally and metaphorically rebounded. We'll talk about that more. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Before then, I will tell you. You know where I was over the weekend? I went into Robert Irwin Jewelers because I got Claire diamond earrings. I put my money where my mouth is, Jeffrey. And she loved them. Here's the thing, actually.
They're like the little black dress of,
I got her
jewelry.
I got her diamond earrings. And this is unlike me. They were too big, and she wanted them to be a little small. Don't say phrasing. That she wanted them to be a little. So what we did is we went back in and we got some little tiny diamond earrings that she could wear every day, and then some other diamond earrings for nice occasions. And honestly, we saved money in the process. So she's thrilled. It was, of course, the experience, the upbeat experience that it always is over there at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And right now they got the Santa Surplus sale going on, clearance savings to kickstart your new year. Listen to this. 30 to 70% off on designer engagement rings, anniversary rings, and wedding bands. Up to 50% off, this is where I come in, off diamond stud earrings, perfect for any occasion. 40% off stunning gold chains and bracelets, store-wide savings. So whether you're thinking about getting engaged, whether you're thinking about Valentine's Day, which is bearing down upon us, birthdays, anniversaries, now would be the time to get into Robert Irwin Jewelers. Santa Surplus sale deals will not last for long. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. It is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We got Fish on Friday. After that, we do have a whole lot to get to cram in, therefore, into this segment, including the sad news over the weekend that we learned that Phil Clark, one of the great youth baseball coaches, high school baseball coaches in the city of Memphis, passed away. He had been ill. I take it you knew Phil?
Yes, my dad really knew Phil and me. I think they've known each other since, like, college, because one of my dad's best friends played at Jackson State with him. So he's known him forever. Sad day, but man, what a
unbelievable.
What an unbelievable career.
And of course, when you look at all those wins that have been stacked up, just think all the players. You know, like that, it's true of high school teachers, it's true of high school coaches, it's true of high school band leaders. Like the number of players, of kids that you touch as you assemble all those wins is the part that, of course, matters most. So thoughts to those, to Phil's family and to those who he touched and who he loved. We did have the news, the Memphis remained in the AP poll, the Tigers, at 24. We talked briefly about them, and they got the win over Charlotte. 24th in the AP poll. We have a new bracketology out from Lenardi, and they are a 5 seed.
Indeed.
Jeffrey, so all is well, right?
Resume's holding up. Everything's, it's just, we're officially in the NBL phase of the schedule.
It is funny. It is funny. You, and this is the point that I make it honestly to Parth all the time. Teams lose games.
Sure.
You know, and I know the context is different when you lose them in the AAC. But if you look at the top 25 last week, the top 25 went 23-22. 10 teams in the top 25 lost games last week. Now it's sad and unfortunate that for Memphis, losses count more and there's no opportunity to make up for them. Like, you look at Ole Miss, for example. Ole Miss had an unbelievably great week,
yep,
even though they lost to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, look at Alabama.
Because they went to Alabama and beat Alabama, and now they are 16.
And Alabama loses at home to Ole Miss. Home losses, not great, but they go on the road to Kentucky. They
right.
beat Kentucky, and it's like, okay, they're still top 5
team. It's okay. Mississippi State, they got crushed by
at Auburn.
But you know what? Then they beat Ole Miss. So there you go. Do you believe that Memphis is fixed to the extent that it wasn't fixed when they lost to Temple? Like, are we seeing all as well? You know, there they are. They had a...
I never thought they were broken.
No, I never thought they were broken either. Here's what I think. That's what I've said all along. It's really, really hard to not lose games and to be fired up for every game. And indeed, fired up, the truth of the matter is, you can make an argument that they should have won. They probably should have won by, they led by 19 and they ended up, you know, winning by 9.
Yeah, I mean, this is where my head goes, but I was... Because we had that game on, I believe that was during the Rams. I think that was during the Rams-Eagles game. So we had it on at side TV. And I just looked at Aaliyah. I was like, man, if you laid the points with Memphis, you're hurting right here. Because they should have been.
They should have.
They were
and,
up like.
And it matters, sadly, in the net. The metrics, these things. Like, it's not true that Memphis can't do anything to improve their resume now. They can't get signature wins, but they can crush people. And if they crush people, you improve your metrics. So it was certainly good to see. They got Wichita State next. And I continue to believe, listen, this is a team we once at the start of the season said, just make the tournament. I think they're in great shape to just make the tournament. If they can take care of business, they will remain in that 5 seed range. And that is where you want them to be. It was 20 years ago today, and Pete Pranica just posted about this, and so brought it to my attention that Don Poyer died. That was a wrenching, awful day in the history of the Memphis Grizzlies basketball franchise. He was part only in the movies in Memphis. That was a Don Poyer, incredibly gracious guy. He had been like so many of the people in that franchise had been dislodged. He's Canadian. He'd been dislodged from Vancouver to come to this strange city. Like, what am I doing down here in the middle of, you know, Tennessee, the corner of Tennessee?
Yeah.
And embraced it, was beloved very quickly. Like he's our dude. You know, it wasn't some odd match. You could imagine that it would have been some odd match, but he very quickly became the beloved voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, and it was 20 years ago that he sadly passed away. A couple things, other things that I wanted to get to, Jeffrey. We mentioned the Ohio State-Notre Dame game.
Yep.
Now that it's over, this is true. In a 4-team playoff, Ohio State would have been out.
I think it's likely both teams would have been out. You could have conceivably seen a case where 11-1 Notre Dame would have gotten in, but based on the rankings, and again, who knows if they would have changed the rankings, whatnot, but both teams would have been out.
But focusing on the eventual champion, so we know the eventual champion would not have made a 4-team playoff.
Yep.
Is that good or bad? In other words, you can make an argument that you could argue that either way.
Oh, yeah.
You can argue, I don't want teams to have second chances. I want when you lose like you did to Michigan, that should have consequences and it should mean something. And what it does is it raises the stakes on every single regular season game such that you know if you win that game, you have sent your rival into the dustbin. If you lose that game, you're done for the year. And instead, it's like, yeah, well, that was too bad, but watch us now. And that diminishes the significance of those games. And so that's a bad thing. You shouldn't be able to just make up for the screw-ups that you have and get another chance. The other way to look at it would be, oh, no. This is great. Everything shouldn't come down to one game somewhere in the regular season. If you look at Notre Dame, for example, which you were talking about, they're just a random day in September. They happen to play badly. And why should we S-can the whole rest of the season? Because you have a second chance, what it actually does is give the regular season continued meaning, right? It gives more teams more meaning for the regular season. And ultimately what it did was it gave us, I think most people would agree, the best team as the national champion. And that is a good thing that we expanded it so that the best team could, over time, have a chance to prove that they were the best team. It is a good thing that a team is not destroyed by a random loss. Which side of that do you come down on?
I think it really, the way that I distill it down to is, do you want to reward the best team? Because this format, to me, is what allows the best team to shine. In the end, Ohio State was the favorite coming into the season, them and Georgia. For a while, it was like you could get Ohio State and Georgia versus the field. Well, Georgia has a quarterback injury that knocks them out. In the end, the team that was the best team coming into the season is the team that was rewarded for that opportunity. The flip side would be is, do you want to reward the best season? I mean, if you're Oregon, you got a legitimate gripe. Like, hey, in this whole season of it was defined by who could go unscathed. We went unscathed, and our reward was we had to show up and play Ohio State the first time, our first game.
I think people will agree that the way the playoff worked, the matchups worked, was imperfect, and I think that will likely be changed. It's interesting, though. Does it reward the best team? Like, you can make an argument that, like, when the Giants won the Super Bowl,
yep,
were they the best team or the Patriots? Like, it gives you a chance.
No, the Giants weren't the best team.
It gives you a chance to just get hot in the playoffs.
And healthy.
And
the Giants were not healthy. Like, the Giants have been banged up early, and the Giants got healthy in the playoffs, and they got hot.
I'll tell you what. I'm very clear on this. We can argue about the details of the way the playoff works. We can certainly argue about whether the way the seeding works should be maintained. I think it's unequivocally a massive success. The playoffs were interesting. No, every game wasn't great. You know what? Every NFL playoff game hasn't been great either. The playoffs were interesting, compelling, really, honestly, right down to last night. And what it did was it gave us, to me, a dramatically more interesting regular season, even a regular season that kind of trickled down to Memphis. Like, this season, although it didn't go the way that anyone wanted it to, because of the losses that really knocked them out of contention for the national championship, or at least for the playoff, it had an extra level of intrigue. And certainly for SMU and for Boise and for BYU and for, like, everywhere you look, for SMU, it expanded the interest in college football across the country. And I think because of that reason was a dramatic success. Do you disagree?
No, I think in particular comparing it to a 4-team playoff, this is a significantly better system. am I someone that's going to miss the idea of when you have the soul-crushing loss, it doesn't hurt you? Yeah, I'll miss that a little bit. But at the same time, I think that I found myself in November more locked into the sport than in a decade. Yeah.
The did see a way too early top 25. Now, Ohio State's the favorite immediately, right? But the truth of the matter is Ohio State loses a lot.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They lose a lot, particularly they may have maybe only seven starters returning. So I was looking at the Athletics way too early top 25. And this will be interesting because their number one is Penn State.
From a returning production, you get your quarterback back. And
now you lose your defensive coordinator. Tom Allen goes to Clemson.
And you're losing Abdul Carter.
Right, and you're losing Abdul Carter. But you got your quarterback back. You got a lot of returners. Basically, the way they did it was Penn State, Texas, Notre Dame, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, 6, Georgia, 7, Oregon, 8, Arizona State, 9, BYU, 10, Tennessee, 13. That may be low, honestly, for Tennessee. Alabama, 14. And then from the who makes it outside of the power conferences, Boise at 21 and Navy at 24.
So the first things that stand out, the teams that are at the top, you know what they're doing at quarterback. So, obviously, Aller coming back to Penn State.
Arch.
Even though Texas is losing Quinn, they know what they're doing with Arch. Notre Dame, I guess, doesn't quite know what they're doing at quarterback, but for LSU, Nussmeier.
LSU, Nussmeier does.
You've got Klubnik at 5.
Yeah.
Ohio State doesn't know. Georgia, I guess they're doing
Gunnar
Stockton.
I think
Stockton.
You're right. They're kind of, Gunnar Stockton. I think they're kind of knocked for that. Anyway, interesting. There it goes. And by the way, then we have NFL news. Again, we're going to be busy in the second hour. We got Chris Harrington and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. The NFL news is that Aaron Glenn is interviewing with the Jets today, and the thought is they don't want him to leave the building.
Yes, so Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network is reporting that he is going to the Jets. The Jets are bound and determined to make Aaron Glenn their head coach, not let him leave the building. If they don't get a deal done, he's going to New Orleans.
The assumption he'd been to New Orleans. I wanted him to go to New Orleans because another option in New Orleans is Joe Brady, who is sort of, was perceived to be at least well behind Aaron Glenn in that pursuit. All right, we're gonna talk to Chris next, and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Before that, I will tell you if you are selling your house, call Josh Heisa. And then maybe this 2025 may be the year when you, you move to a bigger, more palatial place, or you downsize, or you move into town, or you move out to the suburbs, or whatever it is. If 2025 is the year when you are planning a move, Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. I talk about them all the time, but you don't have to trust me. Go just look at the Google reviews. You will see more than 300 five-star Google reviews. And he can take you through that very tricky process of selling a house, buying a house. You know, you're buying a house, but you got to sell your house, too. Like, most of us can't afford two mortgages. So this guy named James was doing this. He's like, how am I going to manage this? Josh marketed his house, had a offer that he was accepted within 3 days, which made the whole thing go a lot easier. That is the way that Josh Heisa operates. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time. Once again, the phone number, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. We got Harrington next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.